So, in this new administration, we have envoys.
Ambassador Holbrooke will coordinate across the entire government an effort to achieve United States strategic goals in the region.
And more envoys.
He will lead our efforts to reinvigorate the process for achieving peace between Israel and its neighbors.
That's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking about Ambassador Richard Holbrooke, who will be a special advisor to Afghanistan and Pakistan, and George Mitchell, who's special advisor to the Middle East. Two hotspots, two envoys. We have one more envoy joining us, former envoy in any case. Dan Simpson, now an editor at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, served as U.S. special envoy to Somalia from 1994 to 1995. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be with you.
I gather I should call you ambassador. You were also in the diplomatic corps when Congo was Zaire.
You can call me Dan. That's perfect. Yeah, I was sent ambassador to the Central African Republic and then Somalia. I was ambassador and special envoy and then to Zaire, which re-became the Democratic Republic of Congo while I was there.
Well, what are the responsibilities of an envoy, especially in a place that is so in flux? I mean, Somalia couldn't have been more in flux at the time that you went in.
Yes, I would say that in general, special envoys are named when a problem is especially difficult, and particularly if it's cross-national, which is to say that it goes across borders. And, of course, that is the case with George Mitchell and Dick Holbrooke and now Steve Bosworth to North Korea.
And do you have a special portfolio? I mean, are you carrying a clear message that you're reporting directly to the Secretary of State or even to the President?
Well, that kind of depends on the magnitude of the problem. I think the first thing that's different about it is it's usually a cross-national issue, one which, you know, involves either a number of countries or a number of parties to a conflict. I think that the reason special envoys are named is that the problem is considered to be different in character and beyond the capacities of the normal diplomatic corps. You know, an American ambassador is ambassador to a country, whereas, for example, right now, looking at what George Mitchell has to tackle, you know, he has to face Israel and
different
Palestinian elements, and other Arabs are really quite interested, and then everybody else in the world virtually is interested.
I mean, he's got two parties even within the Palestinians. You know, this goes back to the shuttle diplomacy era of Philip Habib, who went back and forth to negotiate peace agreements. How far have we come in the sort of envoy game from the Philip Habib days?
Well, I would say that for one thing, the problems are much more complex. I mean, if one looks at what George Mitchell and, of course, also Holbrooke have to tackle. I mean, Holbrooke, it's Pakistan and Afghanistan. I mean, if one looks at that, I'd say the problems are more complex. Also, for better or for worse, these are old problems, and they are older now, and older tends to mean more complex, which is to say that people are dug in more deeply in their positions, and there's more history, some of which is unfortunate.
Now, in the United States, when a president names an envoy, the news media tends to think, okay, well, we're bumping up the priority of this problem by naming an envoy. But do people in the world, in the countries that are involved, do they view an envoy as sort of a bumping up of interest, or a kind of here comes another
clown? Oh, boy, here comes old you-know-who.
There you go.
Well, it's a little complicated because particularly now, people, foreign countries, foreign leaders want the attention of our new president, who's a bit of a superstar, and, of course, Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, who's also a superstar. And so when you tell them, oh, well, you know, we're going to turn your problem over to Steve Bosworth or Dick Holbrooke, what they think, now, wait a second here. Now, the way to beat that, there are two ways to beat that. One of them is that the special envoy himself or herself must stay in close touch with the ROC. You know, they need to be in touch with Obama and say, well, you know, the other day when I was talking to the president about your problem, he told me, you know, X and Y.
Right.
The other way is that the other line of communication, which is to say that president to president, you know, Obama calls Mahmoud Abbas or,
right,
you know, something like that. That remains. I mean,
so
for
it's
example,
a coordinated effort. It's a coordinated effort. The president really has to be involved behind the scenes. And the special envoy cannot be removed either from the president or from the world leaders that he or she is dealing with. Dan Simpson, that's a great takeaway for complicated jobs, three very, very challenging assignments for envoys. Dan Simpson, former U.S. special envoy to Somalia. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.